This is Olivia Berkman, and welcome to FEI Weekly. This week's episode is another replay from the ICONS Women of Note Conference. In this episode, you'll hear from Michelle Daly, Senior Vice President, Controller, and Principal Accounting Officer at NASDAQ, share the seven most important lessons of her career, including the great advice to build a network before you actually need it.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Andre said, I'm Michelle Daly, and I am the Controller and Principal Accounting Officer at NASDAQ. I am based out of New York, but today I'm actually joining you from St. John's, Newfoundland, up in Canada, visiting our team up here. So you might be able to see the snow in the background, which feels good since I feel like we got ripped off in the Northeast this winter. I am thrilled to be here with you all today and share a bit of my story. And I thank FEI and PwC for the nomination and opportunity to be here today. So I'm going to focus my talk a little bit on the theme of owning your career, because let's be honest here, if we don't own our career, no one else is going to do it for us. So I figured I'd give you a little bit of a timeline of my career and sort of work that theme through it, and also talk about this theme through by way of seven lessons learned or advice that I would like to impart on you, or advice that I wish I had along the way. But first, I thought it'd be good to just start out with some personal information. So I grew up in North Jersey, did not go far, as I'm still living in New Jersey and working in New York. I went to Villanova for my undergrad. So similar to Caroline, we've had some good basketball years. This year is not one of them because we're not even in the Big East anymore and not in the tournament, but better years next year. I am married and have a husband who is incredibly supportive. So like Nicole talked about, I think it's super important to have that partnership and know that things are okay at home when you're super busy at work, and being able to balance that. I'm a mom to two awesome boys, almost nine and 11. Feels like it was just yesterday that they were born, and I was trying to figure out how to deal with going back to work and that transition. After living in New York City for over 20 years, we made a COVID move, like many of you may have, and we relocated to our second home at the Jersey Shore. So I have quite the commute, and I am very fortunate that I have worked for a company that has a hybrid work model. So I really only have to be in the office 2 or 3 days a week. Outside of work, I am very involved with Villanova. I serve on the Accounting Advisory Council, and actually got the opportunity last Monday to go up to talk to 400 freshmen who are in the business school to try to convince them that they should be accounting majors and the value of an accounting degree. I'm also involved in my kids' school to keep me very busy. I just co-chaired our biggest fundraiser, our gift auction last week. And for fun, I like to travel, hang out with my friends and family, try new foods. I'm a workout junkie. I love trying new kinds of workouts, and I feel like it's my mental health savior and trying to clear my head. We're actually, as a family of four, have started to play a lot of pickleball, which is fun that the boys are old enough to do that. So going through a bit of a timeline of my career and some experiences that I had along the way, as Andre said, I started my career in public accounting at Ernst & Young. I was in the audit practice, and I loved it. I wanted to stay to be a partner at that point in time. I had a lot of great experiences, had exposure to many different clients. I worked in media and entertainment clients. So some of my clients were Time Warner, the National Basketball Association, the Associated Press. I had some internet clients when those were a big thing back then, record label. And it was really such a great breeding ground for learning and learning from my audit teams as well as my clients. And actually, EY sponsored me to get my executive MBA at NYU, which is coincidentally where I met my husband. As I went through business school and learned from my colleagues and learned through different experiences, I felt like eventually there was more to a career than public accounting. And so ultimately, I did wind up leaving EY based on a call from a recruiter. But it was a really hard decision to kind of walk away. Like I said, I was there for almost 11 years and learning a new industry. I was going to Goldman Sachs. And I was going to Goldman Sachs in June of 2008. So it's a new industry, you know, have to reestablish yourself. But, you know, I had the courage to do it and wanted to make a change. So just cut to a few months later, you know, is the financial crisis. I started there in June of 2008. And so this is a really interesting time now. And I thought I'd go there and move around a bit and work on different teams. I started out on the SEC financial reporting team, and cut to 8 years later, I was still on the SEC reporting team, but expanded my role over time and got to do different things. And ultimately, you know, I was leading the SEC reporting team, and that was my platform to get promoted to managing director at Goldman, which was a super rigorous process. After a couple of years of that role, I decided, you know, I wanted to just expand my opportunity set and my skill set and try something different at Goldman. And so I moved into a role in corporate treasury and was managing the balance sheet and unsecured funding utilization and the allocation of those resources to the different businesses, which was super interesting and much more strategic on the other side of things. And but it was in that role for a little over a year and decided I wanted to go back to something that was more of a controller function. But I didn't want to go back to the group that I came from. I felt like I wanted a bigger role. And a role came up at BlackRock. I got a call from a recruiter and didn't know, wasn't familiar with the role. So actually had a contact that I worked with at Goldman, a fellow managing director who had went to BlackRock. And I called her and said, you know, what do you think about this role? Do you know anything about it? And she said, no, I don't, but let me find out and I'll get back to you. And let me just send your resume to HR because we're always looking for talented people. And so 30 minutes later, got a call from the recruiter at BlackRock saying, I have the perfect role for you. And that was the role of deputy controller on the corporate side at BlackRock. And that was the role that I feel like really propelled me to leading a global team. I had over 100 people on my team and, you know, got to travel quite a bit to visit the teams in different locations and, you know, had a wide remit. And I was there for about 3 years and really enjoying my role. I had a fantastic team and, you know, was enjoying the time at BlackRock. And about 3 years later, my prior manager from Goldman, who had left me to go be the controller at NASDAQ, actually was promoted to CFO and called me to ask if I was interested to interview for the role of controller. And, you know, I jumped at that opportunity to interview because, you know, I'm getting to work with such an amazing leader and mentor over the years and take an expanded role because this moving from deputy controller to a broader controller and principal accounting officer role. And so that's been at NASDAQ for 3 years now, which is super interesting. And, you know, unbeknownst to me, when I was interviewing at the time, you probably all know NASDAQ for our core foundational businesses of the markets and our listings business. But we're actually a technology company that powers global marketplaces. And we're a leader in regulatory reporting and surveillance. And we have an anti-financial crime company that, you know, is helping to solve the $3 trillion financial crime problem. And that's actually where I am today, Verafin. And we just recently completed the largest acquisition in our history of, you know, over $10 billion. So it was super exciting to be involved in these historic moments at NASDAQ. So as Andre kind of talked about in the beginning, my team is responsible for all things accounting operations, accounting policy, all of the reporting that we're doing from internal board reporting, metrics reporting, external reporting on earnings, our 10K and 10Q as global statutory reporting, our corporate ESG reporting. And so we get to get involved in so many different things. And, you know, we have a diligence team as well that works on, you know, specifically for finance, from diligence on new deals to the integration. We just recently integrated Verafin, and now we're working on integrating Adenza, which we just purchased. And so, you know, between the transactions and getting involved in earnings and the recent investor day that we had, you know, there's so much exposure and ability to have an impact. So this, you know, with that background in mind, kind of leads me to seven pieces of advice that I wanted to share with you. Number one, it takes a village. I would say, you know, going into, you know, once I had children, I realized, you know, how much work, I knew it was going to be hard work, but how much work it takes to really care for your family and care for your career at the same time. You know, I remember going back to Goldman where I was when I had my first child, and Sheryl Sandberg had spoken, and I wasn't able to attend the event because I was on maternity leave, but one of my colleagues got me a signed book. And I flipped through the book thinking, you know, I'm not going to have time to read this whole thing, but let's look at the chapter names. And there was this one that spoke to me that said the myth of having it all. And I said to myself, you know, why does it have to be a myth? Why can't we have it all? And, you know, quickly realized there's those days where you have everything firing on all cylinders is going to be far and few between. But, you know, there's days where your career is going to take a front seat, and there's days that your family has to take a front seat, and you have to balance those priorities. Like Andre said before, it's not work-life balance, it's really life, and managing all of those things together. And just the point here being, it's okay to ask for help when you need it. You know, I'm fortunate that I have a wonderful partner who can take care of things, and a nanny that we've had since my first child was born 11 years ago. I would say the other thing in terms of taking a village is just being able to leverage your relationships at work too, especially when I was pregnant and having kids when I was at Goldman, made lifelong friends and, you know, bonded over so many different experiences that we were going through at the same time, and being able to have that sounding board and know that what you're going through is totally normal, or maybe it's not, and you need to kind of run that down and figure out what's going on. But I'm fortunate for those relationships and the people that I can lean on all throughout my life, personal and professional. Number two, I would say, oh, my lights just went out too. number two, I would say communicate. And this comes in different styles. Communicate when you want something. Use your voice. And if there's a new job that you want, a new position, if a new promotion, an increase in your pay, you know, having the courage to have those discussions is super important, because if there's a new opportunity you want, people can't read your mind and know that that's the next step that you want to do. And so I would just emphasize that. Another element of communication is communicating early and often. You know, someone once told me in my career that bad news is not like a fine wine. It does not age well. And so if you have news to share, you need to share it early and often, because that will be helpful in your career as well. Number three, take care of you. You know, I talked about in my personal story earlier that I love to work out. I feel like that is my mental health escape and helps me clear my head. I can feel it when I haven't gotten to get on my Peloton in a couple days and my head is not clear. And people and my family will joke that I'm hangry, the equivalent of when people haven't eaten in a while. If I haven't worked out in a while, I get a little bit cranky. So I would say that is something that it's a sacrifice to find the time too. I mean, I don't want to wake up at 5 a.m. on and these are days that I usually don't commute into the city, but it's a sacrifice, but I think something that's well worth it. And I learned early in my career that there's not going to be time at the end of the day. There's always something else to do. So, so get your workout on in the morning if that's important to you. And maybe it's, you know, maybe it's meditation, maybe it's just reading or just having time for yourself. And so I would just say, prioritize you and take care of you. Number four, it's not all going to be rosy. There's going to be setbacks in your career. So I would say easier said than done. Don't get discouraged. And more importantly, don't lose your confidence. I'll share a vulnerable story that I experienced when I was at Goldman. I had my first child. I went back to work from maternity leave in May. And that was the year that I was up for managing director. And I worked my tail off for 6 months completely. You know, when you talk about putting things first, I definitely put work first during those first 6 months back to work. And when I did not get promoted in November, I was completely devastated. But, you know, at the same time, sort of had that inwardly, did not outwardly express my devastation across work. But at the same time, I did the research that I needed to do and understand the feedback. Well, why didn't I get promoted? And I wanted to make sure that there were no questions the next time that I was up for a promotion, which, by the way, the managing director promotions used to be every year at Goldman. That year, they changed it to every other year. So I had to wait 2 years, which was okay. It all worked out because I wound up having another child and came back. And from that maternity leave, that I was up for promotion again. And thankfully that was the year that I did make managing director. So I would say, don't get discouraged. It's, you know, most importantly, learn from any setbacks that you do have in your career. And I saw a cute saying when I was going through that, if at first you don't succeed, fix your ponytail and try again, which has always stayed with me. Number five, and Caroline referred a lot to this. When I was at Ernst & Young very early in my career, there was a senior female partner who said, build your network before you need it. And at that point in time, I was like, I don't even know what that means. But as I've kind of gone through the timeline of my career, I did thankfully have a network in place. And it was just because I stayed in touch with folks that, you know, I really enjoyed being around and had a connection with. And so when I went from BlackRock when I went from Goldman to BlackRock, there was someone that I knew at BlackRock. Had I not had that relationship, I may not have gotten the role at BlackRock. When I went from BlackRock to NASDAQ, I was recruited to NASDAQ from my former boss at Goldman. And so it's important to be an expert at your role and be very good at what you do at, but also having those connections can help you get to the next place. And number six is pay it forward. And this is really near and dear to my heart, just as we just celebrated International Women's Day and we're in Women's History Month. I've been fortunate to have many mentors and sponsors, you know, people that have seen potential in me that maybe I didn't even see myself, and trusting them to put me in the right position. And being a mentee as well to folks is, or being a mentor to mentees. And I've learned a lot from my mentees and get a lot out of those relationships. So try to help people as well as the way I was helped throughout my career. And then number seven, I would say be courageous and be willing to take risks. And maybe it's a new industry or it's starting over again. You know, I did that after spending over a decade in two different firms, started over again. And it's not easy, but, you know, knowing that I did it once, I said I could do it again. And I also wouldn't have come to NASDAQ in the middle of a global pandemic, but I trusted that, you know, my old boss was not going to steer me in the wrong direction. And it's been a great, great move for me. And I've really thoroughly enjoyed NASDAQ and all the challenges that I have here. So I would say, you know, in summary, number one, it takes a village. Number two, communicate and over-communicate. Number three, take care of you. Number four, learn from your setbacks and just, you know, try not to get discouraged or lose confidence. Number five, build your network before you need it. Number six, pay it forward. And number seven, be courageous. There was, just as we celebrated International Women's Day, there's a lot of quotes out there. And one of my favorite is from Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. And it goes that the women I love and admire for their strength and grace did not get that way because, excuse my language, shit worked out. They got that way because shit went wrong and they handled it. They handled it 1,000 different ways on 1,000 different days, but they handled it. And these women are my superheroes. So I thought I'd end on that quote. It's one of my favorites. And again, thank you all for listening and giving me the opportunity to speak with y'all today.